relationships, sex, passion. With Dr. Lori Petito. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Welcome to Passion, a show all about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight, it is alternative sex. This is a segment of Passion, which we have once a month, which explores the different ways people express their passion for sex, which means you can ask your questions about kink, BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, kinky sex. My guests are Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. They were featured on the show Kink a few years back, in fact,
I know.
And you know what happens, right, with these shows. They're taped, you know, ages ago, but they keep recycling them. So I know it's a little bit crazy, but there you are, and you're well known for that. And people still recognize you for that.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was on Showcase.
On Showcase. Thank you. Okay. It's a good thing you're correct. And you're not 50 yet. Okay. Got it.
Bless you.
I got you. Okay. I guess I was just projecting my own age. I don't know. 514-790-0991. You can also text any questions you have for Pierre and Catherine about BDSM. Anything at all. They are so open about just answering any question that you may have. And we'll talk about how to begin if it's something you think you may want to explore. How do you begin the whole process? We'll talk about what a munch is. It's a special event. There's one coming up. We'll talk about what a DS relationship is. So any other questions you have, please feel free, 514-800 or 514-790-0991. One of the reasons why we have this kind of show or this kind of segment on the show is for me, it's to dispel myths. All right. A lot of people, especially when it comes to sexuality, we live with so many taboos, so many misconceptions and misinformation and biases, like tons of biases.
But I find it interesting because in the introduction of the show, you mentioned about what used to be taboo is now mainstream.
Right.
And it's all part of this. It's getting crazy right now because what is alternative nowadays? We don't know. I mean,
no, we don't. What does it mean?
We see so much leather or so much latex on TV or talk about domination or, I can understand that a lot of people are just mixed up about all this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You do it.
Well, you know, but you have to follow trends and see what the change is. I can tell you because I've been doing this for close to 25 years, I've seen the shift.
Change,
I've seen I've seen the change, and I remember, you know, places where you could buy leather or latex wear. There was like maybe one place.
Yeah, and now
everybody carries them. And now you have, you know, Salon de l'Amour, which everyone goes to. It is not your it's not your kinky playground as it once might have been. It's so mainstream, and it's all couples, most couples that come in there. It's educational, and people are shopping like crazy.
I've seen a trend too in the more average sizes. So they're not all the little tiny, tiny sizes. They're getting bigger sizes in the lingerie.
Yes, absolutely.
For, you know, your more everyday woman.
Yeah. Well, actually, we interviewed one of the booths that was near, because we have a booth every year there too. Passion has a booth, and there's a woman who sells lingerie up to, I don't even know what size, but Bonnie's bedroom. And this is her specialty, mm-hmm. is where she, you know, corsets in all sizes. And it's something that, it's accessible to everyone, and it says everyone can be sexy, and end of story, you know, and to each his own. And I wanted to share this study with you guys because it is a study that certainly dispels a lot of myths. A new study has discovered that practitioners of BDSM, bondage, discipline, dominance, submission, sadomasochism, tend to be less neurotic, less anxious, and less paranoid, and more extroverted, more conscientious, and more open to new experiences than members of the vanilla general public.
That makes sense to me.
But sure, it makes sense to you. However, the myth or the misperception that somehow people who are practitioners are crazy. Quote unquote disturbed.
Oh, disturbed. Thank you.
Well, because they just see on TV where people just at the spur of the moment decide to get into this, where in real life you need to plan it out, talk it out, decide what's consensual, how you're going to signal back and forth, things like
this. Do some research.
So to actually make it work, you have to put a bit of effort in. You have to be open-minded. You have to be able to talk about this.
Right.
You know, so
you can't be deranged to do it, because you wouldn't have your presence of mind to be able to do it.
The number one thing is live to play another day.
Right. That's the motto.
That's live the to number play another one day. Motto.
But
yeah.
Here, I just want to continue this. BDSM practitioners, and I'm quoting from the study, either did not differ from the general population, and if they did, they always differed in the more favorable direction. guys, you can see this in Journal of Sexual Medicine. It is published in a very prestigious journal, so there you go.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. But I think this kind of thing is very important because, first of all, the BDSM community is not homogeneous. Like, it's so diverse,
and,
you know.
But that's one of the things that is so important to understand. We mentioned we want to talk about how someone can start in BDSM. The first thing you have to understand is there's no way or official way to do BDSM. It's everybody has a different way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Their own journey.
Their own journey, yeah. And this is what makes BDSM so wonderful. I love to talk to someone who do their own, because you can be very, very individual when you do BDSM. Mm-hmm. And of course, you see other places where everybody do the same thing the same way. They dress the same way. They have the same.
But then it becomes a kind of a club, right? Then then it's no yes. longer anything different. That's really when it gets mainstream. You know, when all the same leatherware is worn and when all the same. Yeah, I mean, it's just.
Well, you know what, though? Until you're into it a little bit, you don't really get your own style.
Okay.
I mean, because if you're just going to go to one of the sex stores and buy that, it's something that somebody else is wearing too.
You know, of course.
So there is kind of a, you know, almost like a BDSM uniform or a mistress uniform.
You know what it reminds me of?
The high heels.
It reminds me of when I was in university, early university, because of course I spent like 15 years there. But in my early university years, I was part of a, let's say, punk movement. Okay. And
you were punk.
I was. And so I dressed the part. But, you know, you had to learn how to dress from. And I thought I was being so individual, but heck no, I was not. You know, I ended up going to England dressed. You know, as a punk rocker,
and
everybody else,
pictures.
I'll have to show you pictures.
Oh my god, I love it!
And everybody else was dressed exactly the same way because I was in that area where they
in
all
the
hung
uniform,
out
for sure.
So it was ended up being like a uniform, and then after that, I got
Doc
turned
Martens.
Off. Yeah, the hair, the pointy up hair.
Oh
and
my
yeah,
goodness!
Yeah, yeah, it was the whole music thing, everything. Didn't last that long, but anyhow. but I understand how we take on a role.
Exactly.
And then evolve it into your own style.
That's it.
And it's
really interesting to talk to people who have kind of learned from outside and come in. They sometimes have the most incredible ideas that they've come up outside of the box because they are influenced by as many other people.
Right.
And same.
It can be, yes, I'm sure, a very fun journey for a lot of people who embark. And we'll talk about people who embark on this journey and actually share some emails with you and many other things. If you have questions for Catherine and Pierre of BDSMCircle.com, then you give us a call here on Passion on CJAD.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito on CJAD 800.
Alternative sex tonight. Well, we talk about kink, and believe it or not, kinky people are mentally healthier than vanilla folks. Yes, they are. And of course, it does
get a lot of those frustrations.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. I don't think they discovered. I don't think that's something that they talked about. But however, what this study did find, which was published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine, they found that dominance tended to score the highest on all measurements. So they did the best. Yeah, I figured you'd say that. Submissives the lowest, and switches, those who can do both, exactly where you'd assume, in the middle. So there you go. But I find it very interesting that BDSM practitioners did not differ at all from the general population. And if they did, it was always better. They always did better.
We seem to talk more and more about fetishes in general, BDSM or any other type of fetishes, travestism or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what you were saying. What used to be taboo is becoming in the mainstream. And this is one of the problems. People want to get into this, but they don't know where to start.
Right. They don't know where to start.
And this is where the big problem lays. And this is why we're trying sometimes to explain to people where to begin, you know, the basics. And believe it or not, most people don't realize that to do something like BDSM or fetishism, you start from your erotic fantasy.
Hmm.
Some people write to us, and this is something that disturbed me a lot. How to do my BDSM? And I talk to them a bit, you know, through email. And I ask them, what is your erotic fantasy? I have none.
Yeah.
So where do you begin?
What the hell are you doing into BDSM if you have no erotic fantasy?
Okay.
And this is the whole point. When you say to people, start from your fantasy, start from what you're dreaming, what you makes you...
Which turns into a role play, right?
Yeah.
It's what turns you on in your head, which you then act out. You can act out.
Yeah. But it seems now, in 2013, 2014 coming up, that BDSM is fashionable. And that scares the heck out of me.
Why?
You don't put a crop or a whip in somebody's hand
without teaching them.
Without teaching them, without knowing what you're doing.
That's very true. That's very true.
And but if you practice swipes and maybe on your own leg and hands a few times.
But
I understand what you're saying in terms of, especially because you know the extent to which people can go, that you can't, you know, you have to have knowledge before you try on anything potentially dangerous, which it can be, right?
Absolutely.
We are playing with things that could be potentially dangerous here.
And that's part of the DS relationship, is that the dominant is going to be educated and understand the risks and take care in what they're doing so that it can be done safely. There may be sometimes the illusion of danger, but it shouldn't actually be a dangerous play or scene.
No, should not. We have a text message. People who are comfortable with their sexuality seem to always be more well-adjusted. It's very true.
Yep.
Case in point, people in the porn industry are the coolest people you'll ever meet. I've spoken to a few porn stars, and every time I do, it amazes me how easygoing and pleasant most of them are. And I, you know what? I actually agree with that. It's quite true. And there have been studies that look at people in the porn industry too, and their personalities. And you know, it is true that if you're comfortable in your sexuality, generally there's going to be some good adjustments there, or at least you've done some self-exploration to some degree.
Makes sense.
Let's go to Anthony on the line. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks. I've got a question for Pierre and Catherine.
Yeah.
Would you say, I guess it's probably a two-part question. Would you say that the norm with BDSM relationships, or rather DS relationships, that the D is normally the male and the S is normally the female?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. There's a lot of men who dream to be submissive. Right now, and fetishes, there's always more men than there are women. And there's a huge demand for dominant women right now. So this is why we don't see that many of them. And usually dominant women are very, very secretive about what they are. Okay, unless
about
they want to be a pro and
right.
what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the DS relationship could be, anyway, it could be a man to a woman, a woman to a man.
Right.
There's actually people who believe in the supremacy of women to an extreme point. I mean, where they think that the race of women, if you allow me to describe it like this, are better than
are superior.
Men. Superior, yeah.
Well, everybody knows that.
Oh,
I mean,
they
really?
Can't help it. Look, they're just gender challenged.
So, Anthony, and what was your next question?
The next question was really around when you're in a relationship that I guess could be pretty much classified as vanilla to begin with.
Yep.
How do you broach the subject with your partner to say, you know,
this is
what I'm into, and without them kind of walking out the door, you know?
And freaking out.
Well,
and
in any relationship, one person is going to be more dominant. And so
You mean sexually?
No, just in the relationship, period.
In general. Mm-hmm.
And often one person will look after the money. One person will kind of, you know, they're the boss in the kitchen. Or the couples mm-hmm. will kind of work that out. Who kind of takes care of what? And it's just a further negotiation of that.
Okay.
You start off slow when you're talking about the sexuality part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it might be that you just... If it's like, let's say, if the male wants to be dominant, just, you know, slightly hold her down during sex and just
see how
start taking
react.
It from there.
And you have to see how they react and how.
Take
right.
it slowly. Mm-hmm.
But
don't just, you know, come on out in full leather.
You know, with a whip and say,
and
okay,
this
let's
is what
do
I
this.
Want to do. Because nobody that gets into it really even extreme later on starts off that way.
Right.
You need to take it one little step at a time.
But one sad thing that we must say is, if you, let's say at some point, you have a frank discussion with your partner and she or he in the situation is not into this, you cannot force them to go into this.
Right.
But what you can do is negotiate something. You have erotic fantasy, but they may have one too. And maybe you could, you know, one day you do your stuff and the next day you do her stuff, you know?
Right.
Yeah. That's the way it should be. That's a very good recommendation, Pierre, because it can happen that your whatever your fantasy is or whatever BDSM stuff you're into, that can actually be a turnoff to your partner. Not a turn on, but an actual turn off. So you want to tread kind of carefully and not go all the way, so to speak, and go in there slowly, talk about it, and do negotiate. Sex is negotiation.
But what I think Anthony is worried about is actually for the partner to really freak out. So this is why you have to go very slow into this.
Yeah.
The example of Catherine, you know, to just introduce it slightly and
start with silk scarves instead of handcuffs
and tying up. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Anthony, for your call.
Thank
appreciate
you,
it. Bye bye. Great questions. More with Catherine and Pierre of BDSMCircle.com. You can check out, they've got hundreds and hundreds of pages of information. So talk about education there. You can get quite an eye-opening education on the site right there. And we'll be back with them here with your questions and comments on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito on CJAD 800.
It is kink night, alternative sex night. A question for you, Catherine and Pierre. Hi, all. Just wondered how the BDSM community, especially the DS community, deal with a dominant, who crosses the line from a proper dom into an abusive individual to their subs. Very good. Does a support system exist within the community, or is it something that doesn't get talked about much?
Actually, the people don't talk about this much because usually it's not known.
They'll isolate in that case from the community.
They won't go to events, or they won't socialize with other people in the BDSM community.
Exactly.
And in the BDSM community, consent is number one. And I mean, that's the line between sanity and not.
Right, it's consent.
And one thing we have to say is...
And legal.
Mm-hmm. Go, Pierre.
If you go into a public party or something like this and somebody played dangerously, usually the people who's witnessing this are either going to intervene or simply leave the place.
Okay.
And say to the organizer, I'm leaving here because of such and such.
This is not okay. So there's huge standards is what you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, certainly.
But again, the community is big, you know, so... Sometime it will be okay at some places and not okay some other places. Mm. It's quite bizarre actually on this.
Well, in terms of, I think what you said is true about if you're in an abusive, whether it's a dom submissive relationship or just a vanilla relationship, those are hidden situations.
Yeah.
We rarely know when a coworker, family member, what have you, is being physically abused because they are often not visible. You know, it's not always a black eye, so to speak.
I like your saying this because a BDSM relationship does not have black eye or does not have broken limbs. Okay,
yeah,
this is really, really important. If somebody say, I'm in a BDSM relationship and she or he, because we have seen this, comes out of this with a black eye or some... That's not
marks.
BDSM. That's abuse.
If you can't say no and stop it, it's abuse.
It's abuse.
Period.
Yeah, and I think that it's very important that that distinction is made, because that is one of the misperceptions as well. It's like, gee, that person likes to get beat up, you know, or that person likes to do the beat. It's not about beating up.
No.
At all. So I think that's really important. If you have questions for Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle, they join us every month to answer your questions about kink. They are very knowledgeable about the BDSM community and about all other fetishes as well. They are kind of the go-to people in Montreal, in Quebec, when it comes to asking questions and organizing events and just knowledge. The amount of knowledge that they have about this topic is quite vast. So they join us every month to answer yours and my questions about bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, and also there's so many different, you know, dominant, submissive. I mean, we're going to have to, every time it's almost like a repetition. Tell me again, what's the difference between that? So we'll talk about that. And if you have questions, do give us a call, 514-790-0991. You can also text us at 514-800. I'm Dr. Lori Batito, and you're listening to Passion on CJAD 800. Let's play Monster of Seven. Brad must be part of the community somehow. He must be their musical director or something. he just doesn't want to admit it. I know he does.
But now you have to find a good punk song for the next introduction. I won't see Laurie.
He will. Yeah, no. You won't see me do nothing. Sorry, Pierre.
We'll describe every movement.
Someone wants to know, did you go to Fetish Week? My girlfriend walked in the fashion show outside and it was packed. I didn't go, but did you guys go to Fetish
Actually,
Week?
And
no, you missed it.
Well,
go do it.
Kind of boring now.
Oh, I know, so that it's really old. Sounds I know bad. It does sound. Bad,
I know it but, does, mm-hmm. but it's just there's
it's
so
the same ma- thing year after
there's
year.
There's so
right?
many events, and you kind of have to pick and choose. And
but I have to say, I have been Fetish Week is something that, you know, over the years, over the last like 14 years, I've been talking about mm-hmm. and have yeah. interviewed people, and it has gotten bigger
it's
and
big.
Bigger and yeah. bigger and bigger.
The organizer that organized this really did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
So.
Is it Eric Paradis, right?
Yeah, Eric Paradis.
He's amazing. I mean, it's quite amazing how big this whole thing has become.
He works hard.
Yeah, but it has gone mainstream for much of it. Like it's so accessible to everybody.
But that's a problem for us. Okay, I have to be honest. Okay, I am 50. My wife is not. She's younger than that.
Thank you.
How but, much younger, Catherine?
Doesn't but, matter. I
and,
am.
And to be honest, because of I'm a drummer, so my hearing is not as good as it should be. Mm-hmm. So if I go in one of these events and the music is blaring, all I can do is smile to the people, and I cannot talk to them because I don't hear them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So for me, there's no point of going there. I cannot do
it's
any
It's a people-watching thing anyway.
Yeah, but
it's...
again...
you've seen enough people is really what you're saying.
I like to look at young women, you know, dress and sexy clothes and all of this, but this is not BDSM. And usually when there's a BDSM action happening, we don't like to look at it because some people play dangerously because there's a crowd around them. They want to show off. And we just have to take off because we don't want to be there if something happens.
Yeah, this is the last place we want to be if something happens.
You know?
So say and what I hear from you, of course, is that safety is such a key factor.
It's what has to be.
You have no choice.
You know, to be functioning and do it in a healthy manner, it has to be a major concern.
You know, and every time I think of safety, I just think of that situation that was here.
Yeah.
You know, with the fire. Well, I don't know what he was,
but
whatever.
But
that killed him.
That's the whole point. Somebody who begins in the BDSM, you have to do research. You cannot just take a whip or a piece of wood and whack somebody with it. You have to understand what you're doing. There's way to do things. There's place where you can hit. There's place where you should never, never, ever hit. And that this is the whole thing. You have to study about it. You have to research the damn thing.
And this is very important. Research, look into it. Don't just say, yes, let's, and then just, you know, go all out. I think it's really, really important what you're saying here
yes.
is that you have to, and there are great books written about it.
Exactly. But again, We have our site, okay?
We're cross-reference.
Cross-reference everything. And I'm going to take a moment just to explain this. If you see something, let's say the BDSM circle is saying about something, mm-hmm. try to find the same information on another site. Not the same article, but an article written by somebody else that says the same thing. And beware, the internet, there's amazing information and there's...
Garbage. Yeah, I know. It's just, that's the same thing for all sexually related information.
Sure. Yeah, well, it's in everything. So, but now we're talking about safety. If you make a mistake... Well, you can end up like this gentleman who's now in prison because he made a mistake.
Yeah.
It was a mistake, but somebody died from his mistake.
Right. It wasn't a premeditated, no. I'm going to kill this person or I'm going to hurt this person.
It's somebody who tried to push, stupidity. You know, to pursue his erotic fantasy and...
To push the limits
and
also.
He did a mistake.
Right.
It's a simple mistake.
Right.
But mistake happened. I mean, we've been doing this for years. We made our mistake, but nothing happened because
we're
ready.
Tragic mistake. That's what we call a very tragic mistake.
It is a tragic
mistake. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this is why there's a way to begin in BDSM.
And slowly.
That's
how you begin in BDSM. Slowly. You know, the first spanking should be with your hand on like the sit part of the bottom, not... You know, with an object and battling around, smacking around the body.
And not too hard. You start slowly because maybe your partner is not experienced either. And by the way, about the experience, there's some belief out there that are driving me nuts. Some women believe that the only good dom is an experienced dom. But we know some young beginners that did the research that are, you know, looking at BDSM in a very good way, in a very safe way. But because they don't have experience, nobody wants to play with them. So at some point, it creates a situation where young doms lie to get a partner because the system creates this.
But they have more experience than they do. That's very often. We see a lot that they'll lie about that. But then we also see people who've maybe been in the lifestyle, so to speak, for 30 years. But, you know, the last 30 years, they haven't been safe either.
Right.
You know, just because someone's been doing
like
it
a long
time.
It's like anything, you know, anybody coming new into a field is usually, you know, more eager to learn.
Yes.
So there's that eagerness to learn new things. Yeah. And
But don't block that person saying, oh, you don't have enough experience. I mean, the best thing that could
Where do you find these people, Pierre, anyhow? Like you're saying these doms, these young doms, who are they? Where are they?
Well, that's interesting
They're
you
all
ask.
Over.
They're all over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, but where?
Everywhere.
Okay, for instance... We're organizing an event in a few weeks. It's called a Munch, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's the 29th of September. And if you want more information, you go on bdsmcircle.com because for obvious reason, we cannot say where it is. But that's the whole point. There will be people there who are going to be experienced, some who's going to have less experience, and this is where you meet these people.
And some with no experience.
With
I'm sure who are just curious, right?
Me and Katrin, we organize this event, but at the same time, we referee this event. When there's somebody new coming in, we make sure that they're sitting beside friends that are going to introduce, you know, them and to a bit what it is. If we meet somebody new, we try to, you know, to incorporate them in the group so we have fun.
So this is basically a meetup of people who are interested in BDSM. Nothing going on. It's in a public place. It's in a restaurant, whatever.
Outwardly, it could be any group meeting about anything.
So it's a discussion group.
Yeah.
It's like a discussion group you meet. It's very non-threatening. It'll be like in a restaurant. It's a normal, everyday dress. No men
no
in
leathers,
dresses.
Yeah.
no
nothing
BDSM
leather
action.
That you wouldn't, you know, wear to the grocery store if
or
you were going
grandma's.
Out with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can go there without having to worry about being outed. This is a major fear of people starting to get into it.
So this is why we don't want to say where it is. But again, this is the best place to meet people like that. Usually there's more men than women because this is the way things are. But there are women. There are women who are looking for men. And this is the whole point. You start slowly. You go to these events a couple of times. At some point, people start to know you. They start to discover that maybe you could be a good possible partner.
Mm-hmm. Or so, maybe they know somebody. Like it's a form of networking, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
We want to create a situation where people can introduce themselves into the group. So if they go after that to a more formal event, they already know people that are in the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Oh, I met you at Pierre and Catherine's Munch. Mm-hmm. You know, you already have this. This is why we do this.
Right.
And actually, we are we're having fun with this because we meet new people. This is why we do your radio show, because it creates all of these situations where people phone and write to us, and we're having
a blast. Yeah, I think it's great. I do think it's wonderful that our listeners, too, take the opportunity to contact you outside of the show. And
well, let's face it, you have great listeners.
Yes, we do have great listeners. I love them all. We do. They are a great bunch. That's quite true. So, and interested and open-minded, I would say my listeners.
Well,
are,
they have
for
to
the
be.
Most part. Yeah, yeah. They want to learn, and which is wonderful. Speaking of listeners, one wrote in saying, "Holy camoles! I'm listening tonight, and there is so many intricacies within relationships when it comes to." Tonight's discussions. And actually, this was following last month's.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess I'm really old fashioned. From my upbringing, kink, okay, but disrespect to my wife or a couple together is so alien to my mind. A good question for Pierre. Perhaps when just pure sex is happening, but when you love a person, that is another matter. I only want tenderness for my love. So I think we had a discussion about, you know, the pure, you know, somebody like your relationship with Catherine is a loving relationship, but then there might be other relationships outside of that that are just purely.
Yes, maybe. We do. But at the same time, it's not true. We have a stable of sub. We love our subs. We try to use the BDSM to make them better. I mean, it's a
so
form.
We might use tasks to help them do behavior modification, help them quit smoking, lose weight.
Like BDSM psychology.
It is. Well, it's terrible. It's a little bit like life skills sometimes.
You want to quit smoking? Go see a dom.
It happens all the time.
That's hysterical.
We're not the only one doing this.
We had one sub that was always getting speeding tickets, so we made her take the bus for a month. It was amazing how she didn't speed after that.
Want to lose weight? Go see a dom! We can do a commercial!
Actually, one of our subs is having an issue with her weight, and now she has to put in her journal everything that she's eating.
So and she's conscious of it.
So you're like dietitians and
absolutely. We even do mantras and how to do relaxation techniques. All sorts of things.
It's
of course,
not
that's
just,
wild.
That's all part of the relationship. Relationship, though. It's not just, you know, I say, you know, go do this, right?
Right.
It's
lick my shoes and that's it, you know.
Well,
or lick
no,
my
but
feet.
Maybe that might be that part might... of it, but
not all of it.
Not all of it. Right. But there's also often behavior modifications and things that make their life better as well as making our life better.
So you're actually thinking of them.
Yep.
Yes,
it's not
yes.
just about
it's
taking
it's something
them,
that's valued.
Yep.
Their service
so, it's
is
so
valued.
Interesting that you go.
But you have no choice because if it's just sexual, it won't last because at some point something is going to happen. You have to have a certain, I would say this.
Say it in French.
It's a psychological connection. You have to actually you bond with the person.
It's a lot more. What you're really saying is it's a hell of a lot more than sex.
Yes.
And this isn't so much about sex as it is about the relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah. We'll continue this discussion. And if you want to add to it, please, 514-790-0991. Or you can text us at 514-800. You're listening to Passion on CJD.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito on CJAD 800.
Who is that, Brad?
Good job.
The Exploited. Okay. See, back in the day, I would have liked this.
I like it.
I can't do this anymore.
Exploited. That could be fun. I'll be the exploiter.
Yeah. There's not much. It's not always violent. That's the thing. And it's interesting because this is not about violence.
Nope.
And this is as far from violence, really, even though it sounds violent. When you listen to the words bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, you think violent.
Well, can be. but it's not necessarily
controlled violence.
Exactly. A lot of it is about the control and the authority and almost leadership. And some people are just going to be naturally more of a follower or more of a leader, more charismatic. There's a lot of myths about people. They'll think that submissives are always these little mousy things, mm-hmm. and that where, in my experience, I find most submissives are actually very competent, outgoing,
strong people,
and strong personalities,
which is very surprising.
The opposite of what you would expect,
right? Right. They're higher powered people in the regular world that want to let go of some of that.
Yeah. Well, we
power.
Talk about yes. this, but there's so many misconceptions about S&M or the pain. Just the usage of pain. It's not what people think. Just the term masochist.
Or
and
sadism,
BDSM,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not like a real masochist. A real masochist will get off from any type of pain. Somebody is masochist and it's to a BDSM. It's a sexual, it has to be a setup where it's a sexual pain. And we're not any pain still, you know? And
it's not just any pain is really what you're saying. And the sadism part, you know, when you think of somebody who's sadistic.
Same thing.
It sounds so
just
ominous.
The other side of it.
Well, you know what? If you have that, you're wired that way, the way I believe I am. There's, you know, if you want to be able to live that, you have to do it in a sane manner. Or I would go crazy if I thought I was hurting people that they didn't like it.
Right.
You know, whereas I can kind of, it gives me permission to be the bully. And it's fun to be the bully, but not where I'm actually hurting people who don't want to be hurt, or I'm.
Right. You're not getting off on hurting people.
No.
You're getting off on
the power
on the on them getting off on being.
Yes, that's part of it.
For instance,
absolutely.
By definition, I'm a sadist. I could go very, very far in giving pain to someone, but I could not give pain to somebody who doesn't want it.
Right. I think that's
so.
A
I'm
really
not a real
good
sadist.
Point,
right? You know?
Right. You're not. No. You're not. No.
It has to be consensual.
Yeah.
To be fun.
And negotiated, and I look. And
I guess the terminology throws people off. I really do think that one day we're going to change that.
But it's the terminology from 20 years ago where it was still taboo.
I know, but it's time to change it. Like, it's time to get rid of the word sadism in there.
Actually, it's funny because BDSM, see, the term BDSM seems to be on the way out.
Oh, yeah?
And they're calling it DS now.
No,
a lot.
DS is coming more.
So now I prefer that in terms of dominant submissive.
Submissive, yeah.
Which imply, you know, which of course, you know, masochism, dead sadistic, right. Whatever. Like it implies that stuff. But without, I just find the terminology very harsh. And it conjures up imagery of violence, which it isn't about. That's not what BDSM is
it's
about.
It's from the taboo again.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then there's master slave or Mr. Slave, and it, there's still many taboos where it's okay to be a mistress, but if you're a master, you're just an abuser.
Yeah, abuser because
we see that both being dominant. It's when people will find out, it's like they're just titillated that I'm a dom, but that he's a dom is like
his problem?
Yeah,
yes.
Psycho, you know.
Oh,
he's the psycho.
Does he beat you up? You know,
that's
right. It's like,
he's really an abuser. Then, right? No, that doesn't work. All right, we've got some text message. Everything is becoming mainstream. You just have to watch Game of Thrones. I love the show, but the sex scenes are so porn-like that the show further reflects a false image of what women want in bed. That's true, by the way, of all pornography. That it does not reflect reality. At all, and we should talk about this. No, Pierre. I have yet to watch Game of Thrones. I think I'm going to put that on my my to-do list.
We
Netflix
heard about it,
list.
But we never watched it, so
I've never seen it. Is it on Netflix?
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll have to. Let me know. Another question for you guys. What's the age of people that come? I'm 25 and interested in trying it out.
Listen,
especially
have to be
for
an
your
adult.
Munch, I guess.
Yeah, you have to be an adult. So,
that's
of course,
18 plus. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Actually, I prefer 20.
20 plus? Okay. And in some circles, you're really not an adult till you're 25.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yes,
It's
all ages, all experiences. You get most people actually get interested in about 30.
That's the average age.
That's the average age.
Let me disagree here.
In the more psychological parts of it, the younger people tend to be kind of like, I might try that today. But it seems to be more deep-rooted that people have already explored their kind of their everyday or vanilla sexuality. It takes to normally they're about 30.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're old enough to be a little bit more comfortable with their sexuality, that they tend to kind of branch out. Some people...
They stretch their boundaries a little more.
Yeah, some people get quite young, but most is about 30.
It used to be like this for a while ago. People that would go into BDSM would be older with experience, but now we see I don't like to say kids, but we see young adults.
For
adult.
You, kids, yeah.
Yeah, well, when uh-huh. you're 50, everybody else is a
As
kid.
A kid, that's
one
right.
of the problems.
That's right.
But you see young adults that are 20, 21, going into BDSM with not much experience. And
that's when you know it's really mainstream because it's part of their growing up kind
actually,
of.
Actually,
yeah.
it's the cool part. You know, it's the fashion part that is right now coming out.
It's
and I'm afraid of this because I always
thought, that's porn influence, by the way. Pia.
Well, of course it is. Yeah. But I always
music
thought
videos.
You have to have a bit of life experience before you go into something like this.
And you have to have the skills, like communication skills, that you don't necessarily have at 20. You got to,
exactly.
I don't know.
Develop
sometimes,
them.
But not often.
Because a lot of the young adults have the wrong opinion about what a DS relationship should be. Hmm. I read this from email I receive and stuff.
You know
like
what?
This.
We'll talk. We'll take a short break and come back to that. I want to ask you about what is a DS. Relationship, and maybe you can tell me about some of the emails that you get. Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com in studio with me tonight, and you two can join us at 514-800 if you want to text in here at Passion on CJAD.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito on CJAD 800.
Okay, I did love this song.
Yeah, but
I danced to this song.
If I follow Brad's thinking, now we're super freak. What?
Yeah, that's true. We haven't put. You just carried it. I wasn't even paying attention to super freak. But you see, think back when this song was made. Back then, you were super freaky.
Yeah, actually,
you know,
we were in the closet. And
that's right. It was freaky back then to be that into this.
And yet,
people
there's
didn't
always
talk
been
about
a bit
it.
Of slap and tickle. This is nothing new.
Well, that's why the kinky girl was the turn on, right? If you're a kinky girl,
it still is.
There's all that stuff. So that stays, you know. Okay, quickly, we don't have too much time. The DS relationship. DS stands for
dominant submissive.
Okay,
and basically, it's any relationship where you've got one partner by mutual consent is dominant or takes a leadership role over the other, and it can go. Usually it's very loving and caring, and it's a set rules that the submissive will follow, and hopefully to the submissive benefit as well as the dominance.
And it could be very wide. It could be somebody who's into, let's say, foot fetish, because, of course, the lady will be the dominant, and the gentleman will be worshipping the
Her
foot
feet.
Or the feet or the shoes or whatever. So, again, we're looking at the DS relationship. It's just a bit different, you know. So most fetish relationships are going to be based on DS.
It could be just the married couple that he likes her to serve him dinner every night in a French maid outfit or to do little things around the house in that.
Right.
It could even be that. You know, it could be they like a little spanking back and forth.
But
talking dirty too, no?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a DS relationship is negotiated. That's the whole point. This is what's
consensual.
Important. Consensual, negotiated.
And you talk about it beforehand. You don't just...
and we will talk about it over and over and over.
And there's a safe word. And just in case saying no is part of the fun, which it can be sometimes the illusion of it not being consensual can be fun and exciting. In that case, you have to make sure you've got a safe word in some way that you can actually realize that this is consensual.
So another word that means stop.
Yeah,
that means no.
Yeah.
We learn a lot from you guys every month. Love having you here.
Your show is too short.
I know. Speak to the higher ups. What can I say? So again, if you want to find out about the Munch event, it's a meetup group for anybody interested in BDSM. Go to BDSMCircle.com. And guys, I want to thank you very much for being on the
program.
We had
fun. Thank you.
And we'll see you in October. Halloween month. That's role play month. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Try and get a party going for that one.
Listen to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD and CJAD.com.